Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Today we have a new subject, led by the Spirit of God. And our Bible text is from Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, now those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Amen.
Amen.
Today is world, and everybody is very busy. It's a hectic time. It's filled with sounds and images and lots of noises. All those noises are fighting for our attention, trying to take our focus off God. The film industry is growing with good and with bad programs. They are to take our time so that we have less time for God and for the Bible. Many programs and activities use our time. People think that if they are not present everywhere, they would miss out something. Social media is taking many people's time. An estimated 330 million people in the whole world are addicted to social media. And many children are on social media for 9 hours and more per day. The devil makes people so busy that they cannot spend time with God. Maybe they have a rush prayer. In the morning before they leave, they say, oh, God bless me today. Amen. Mm-hmm. And some people, they even say, okay, I just glanced at the Bible. The Bible is on the table. I saw it. That's it. Maybe majority of people, including those who call themselves Christians, are not led by the Spirit. And therefore, they are not children of God. Jesus said, you cannot love God and the world. You cannot love the world and say that you are led by the Spirit of God. Christians have to ask themselves, how much time do I spend in prayer every day and in Bible reading, Bible study? This is imminent in order to be led by the Spirit. If you don't concentrate on God, you don't know His voice. Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. But amidst all the nonsense of the world, all the noise of the world, you cannot hear His voice. Because there are those people, they have music on the whole day from morning till night, they cannot hear the voice anymore. Elijah was in a desperate situation. The queen wanted to kill him. And he wanted to save his life, so he was running away. He went to the mountain of Horeb, and he wanted to search for God. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. You see, there was a lot of things happening, And he couldn't hear. He couldn't see God. And then he says, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
In the quietness, he could hear God. Not in the storm. Not in the noise. So if you want to be led by the Spirit of God, you need quiet place. A quiet place where you switch off your mobile phone, where you switch off internet, no disturbance. And if you have children, you can even say, I'm going to pray now, stay out. So find a place where you can have the ability to listen to God. I have preached about this subject for many years, but I don't see much change in Christianity. Because most Christians are praying for things that they want. They want a job, they want money, they want material things. But if you really want to commit yourself to God, your prayer has to change. We're not always asking. You should search for God in prayer, get into His presence, ask Him to lead you and to guide you. But you have to listen to what He says. Prayer should be, Lord, should not be, Lord, give me, give me, give me. Prayer should be, Lord, I give myself to you. I give myself to you. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? James wrote about not deceiving in prayer in James chapter 4, verse 3. He says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get in your pleasures. Many attend church and think now they have fulfilled their religious duty. They are blind and they are ignorant, because that's not the thing. The question is, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? Certainly it's not religion which says do this and do that or don't do that. Children of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. And He only leads well. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, it says, the spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. This means God will enlighten you. He will guide you through your spirit. A lamp that enlightens you. A lamp that shows you which way you should go. Many times, however, we seek guidance by means other than what God said. When we do, we get into trouble. So God doesn't say that He will guide us by physical senses. He's not. The Bible also doesn't say that He will guide us by our intelligence, by our mentality. It doesn't say God will guide us by our culture. The Bible doesn't say that the body is the candle of the Lord. Nor is the mind the candle of the Lord. It says the spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord. So before we can understand how God leads and guides us through our spirits, we have to understand the nature of man. We have to understand man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. In the creation story we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Listen to this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. How were we created? In the image of God. So man is a spirit being. He is made in the likeness of God. And Jesus said, God is a spirit. So man must be a spirit. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a physical body. We read that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. When the physical body of man is dead and goes to the grave, the spirit lives on. So you have eternal life from the moment that you are born again. You have eternal life. Your spirit never dies. In fact, spirits cannot die. A man is a spirit. When Paul was writing, I'm going to depart, he was not talking about his body departing. He was talking about his spirit departing from this earth. Paul is talking to about the inward man, the spirit man who lives inside of our body. Paul said, I'm going to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So he's speaking about the spirit. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, even though our outward man is perishing, our body is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. There is an inward man and there is an outward man. The outward man is the real you. The real you. The outward man is not the real you. So you know that when you have a relationship with somebody, they might look very nice, but when you start to talk to them, you see they are different. So you're actually speaking to the spirit, not to the physical outside. The outward man is only the house in which we live. The inward man is a real you. The inward man never grows older. He is renewed day by day. The inward man is a spirit man. So what is our spirit? Remember our opening verse. It says in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. And verse 16 gives us the insight how the Spirit of God leads us. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In other words, the Spirit of God bears witness with the spirit of man. Again, Proverbs 20:27, it says, the spirit of man is a lamp unto the Lord. The spirit of man is a lamp unto the Lord. According to these verses, God will guide us through our spirits. So we must find out what our spirit is. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, being natural, could only think naturally. He said, how can an old man be born again, go back into the womb of the mother and be born again? But Jesus was not talking about the physical birth. He said in John 3:6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The part of man that is born again is a spirit. It's the spirit that is born again, not the body. Not when you're born again, your color of skin doesn't suddenly change. When you have a bald like me, it doesn't change when you're born again. Your eye color is not changing. Your DNA is not changing. It's the man's spirit that is made a new creature in God. Paul calls man's spirit the inward man. And Peter calls it the hidden man in the heart. In many Bible places in the Bible, it speaks about the heart, which is actually the spirit. That is the real man. It will help you to believe in your faith if you remember these things. In the New Testament, whenever the word heart is used, you can change it with the spirit so that you understand better, that you get a clearer picture of what the Bible is talking about. It is the spirit of man that is born again. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. When you are born again, everything is changing because suddenly your attitude is different. It's talking about the inward man. It doesn't talk about the outward man. When you're born again, become a new creature, you do not get a new body. The outward man is just as it was before. God is doing anything. God is not doing anything with the outward man. But God is doing something with the inward man. Praise God. He makes the man on the inside a new man in Christ, a new creature. We learn more about the spirit of man next week and how God is leading it. The Holy Spirit has power to lead a believer, and he wants to be involved in our lives. So the Holy Spirit has power to lead us. So to know if someone is a son of God, you have to see if he is led by the Spirit of God. The person who is led by the Spirit of God is different. Worldly things are not important anymore. The Spirit of God is carrying the believer through the trials of life victoriously. This person is led on the way of righteousness and truth. The born-again spirit is living for God because he is a son of God. He rejoices in the Father and seeks to please the Father in all that he does. All who become God's children through faith in Christ are led by the Spirit of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. But we are not in God, in God's family, if the Spirit is not leading us. So Christians should expect to be directed and empowered by their loving Father, away from sin and closer to the Father. Looking back, we should trust that he is leading us, that he is empowering us on the path that we have walked as his children. Finally, we find that as we submit to his leading our Christian walk, the Spirit witnesses with our inner spirit of the intimate relationship that we have with the Father. All believers are children of God. Praise God. For all have been born from above. into the family of God. One day all believers will be conformed to the likeness and image of Jesus Christ when we are going to glory, when we have the heavenly body. As we grow mature in the Spirit, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we begin to mature in faith, we grow in grace. And we learn the lessons the Spirit wants to teach us. And as we grow in grace, so we grow in adulthood, developing into sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. We'd have to talk, the question is, do we become sons and daughters of God, or are we all becoming sons of God? We'd have to talk about women's liberation efforts, who are trying to say, we should always think about women. It's correct that women should have the same rights as men in this world. It's right that women should have the same salary as men in this world. It's also right that the man has the same rights as a woman in this world. But in Christ, we are not from this world system. We have this different system. Many Bible translations think they have to go with the world. Instead of writing, they will become sons of God, they write, they will become sons and daughters of God. Is that correct? Is it right to change the word of God? We have no right to change the word of God. Paul wrote to the Galatians about the sons of God. In Galatians 3:26. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Paul didn't leave out daughters by accident. By referring to both male and female hearers as sons instead of sons and daughters, he communicated the status we share together in God's kingdom, in which we are all heirs through Christ. Sons and heir. Elsewhere, Paul refers to daughters of God and children of God. Only in 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." That's the only way, only place where it says, "and daughters." In Romans 8:16, it says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's only the only verse where it says children. So, why did he choose to say just sons in Galatians 4, 6 and 7? Galatians 4, 6 and 7. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. Then a heir of God through Christ." In ancient cultures, sons were named as the legal heirs. In turn, the husbands and fathers, they had to carry for all the women in a household. Being a direct heir in society would not have been accepted at the time when Paul was alive. As sons of God, we don't just receive an inheritance. Ours is far better inheritance. It's not a worldly inheritance, it's the very kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When you speak of our relationship to Christ, the Lord, and the church as a bridegroom, a bride, we could find room for speaking of their sons and daughters, taking Christ metaphorically as the father of the family and the church as a fruitful wife. But when speaking of the Father, our insertion into the Father-Son relationship, they're only sons in the Son, which indeed is the way the New Testament consistently speaks in these Bible verses. Romans 8, 14 and 15, it says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. By him we cry, Abba Father. In Romans 8, 29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers. So if Jesus is called our brother and he is a son, that means we are sons. Galatians 3:26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Then Galatians 4:4-7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons. You are sons. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out Abba Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also a heir. And Revelation 21:7, it says, he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be God, his God, and he will be my son. Other verse we have in Ephesians 1 and Hebrews 2 and many other verses. In contrast with many New Testament passages that speak as son in the manner of these examples, there's only the text in the New Testament that speaks of God's sons and daughters in 2 Corinthians 6, what we read before. Here Paul is quoting a passage from Isaiah chapter 43 and Jeremiah chapter 31. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are made participants in Christ's natural sonship, being made like unto him, as he is like unto the Father. But why is this consistency and clear clarity of sonship language so important? Why is that? Our fundamental and filial relationship with God is not in any way a conditioned by our gender. We are Christians not in as much as we are women and men, but in as much as we are persons made unto the image and likeness of God, and therefore redeemable and savable. We participate in the sonship of the natural Son of God, in whom there is no natural daughter, even as we participate in the bridal nature of the church, which is a she, not a he. In comparison with Christ, we are all brides. I say it again. In comparison with Christ, we are all brides. In comparison with the Father, we are all sons. The image clash and the refusal to meld in order of nature, one cannot be simultaneously a man and a bride, because we are dealing not with natural realities, but with supernatural realities. Supernatural mystery of divinization, so profound that no single way of speaking can fully express it. And yet, the precise image we use and the language by which we convey them do matter. They cannot be switched around for dealing with definite truths, not with vague mystical stories. To go all one step further, in our participatory divine sonship, there is not a natural filiation like the one we have both through our parents. In a natural order, we proceed as male and female from a man-woman relationship. Supernaturally, however, we proceed from the Son as a son from the Father. God is Father and not Mother. And God has a son, not a daughter. Therefore, when we speak of our relationship to God in Christ, we must not bring in gender, sons and daughters. For such language necessarily implies a relationship of natural or physical generation, which is a basis and origin of sexual differentiation. In short, we cannot speak of sons and daughters of God, because this will be wrong, because it is not true. In this message, we have 2 points. Romans 8:14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The Spirit must be led. Every true Christian must be led by the Spirit of God. Someone who is not led by the Spirit of God is not a Christian. But a Christian can also grieve the Holy Spirit. If you continue in a wrong attitude continuously, eventually the Holy Spirit will leave you and you cannot be led by Him anymore. The second point is that we are all sons of God. Saying we are sons and daughters of God is unscriptural. It is human and fleshly language, thinking as they have in other religions. All believers are children of God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God become mature in their faith, and they are sons of God. As believers are children of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God become mature in the faith, and they are the sons of God. Amen.